Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. We're back at our podcast, In the Open.
Hi, guys. It's America. Teresa's back. Yay.
Having guests are fun.
Yes. We had a really good time last week with Sachin. We spoke a lot about the things that we've talked about in the past. So it was interesting because it references some of the things that we've talked about, you and I have talked about before. So this week, what are we going to talk about, Teresa?
We're going to talk about why am I so hard on myself?
That's a very good and interesting thing to focus on while we come into a new season, at least on the East Coast.
This is true. Is the end of the year a time where it is? People are thinking about giving thanks.
Yeah.
The reasons why we love each other.
The reasons why we love each other.
I hate New Year's. I don't make any resolutions because then I'm always a winner.
I've
met all my goals.
Well, I like this idea of talking about why we are so hard on ourselves, because I believe that most of the time we don't ever think about ourselves enough in a positive way. The negative stuff kind of leads. So it'd be interesting to kind of think through some of the things that people are struggling with when we deal with this kind of overall broad concept.
I do think that when you've struggled with emotional challenges, like either because your depression or whatever is, or your anxiety, makes you have these horrible thoughts. Like, we are harder on ourselves than everyday people, even though everyday people also struggle with being hard on themselves. Yes,
definitely. But there is an additional component to that. I mean, just in general, where you're thinking, why do these things have to happen to me? And then it gets back to this idea of the expectations that we have and you feeling like you're not meeting those expectations.
So being hard on yourself, though, is that negative voice? Those, like, what is it like for you when you're hard on yourself?
I beat myself up mentally and emotionally, where I'm just like, ah, why the hell can't you just get this right? Why do I always have to put myself in these situations? I feel kind of bombarded with everything that's around me, and I feel like I'm failing.
It's very easy for me to go to stupid statements like, why are you so stupid? Why do you sound stupid? Why do you look stupid? Why did you do that stupid thing? I don't know. I must like the word stupid, which I know we tell little kids not to say the word stupid because it's a mean word. So I must have embraced it. It's hard for me not to feel like something is my fault, even when that's not what the person was trying to say. So I feel defensive and I feel guilty and I feel bad, right? I feel negative feelings, but it's hard for me to understand that what's happening is because I am beating up on myself, even though that's not what the person meant at all, which is a really weird process. And it happens very, very fast. So like somebody will say an offhanded comment like, gosh, this car is dirty. And I will be like, I'm horrible. I can't keep my crap together. Can't wash my car. And it's like the spiral of all the things I failed at doing or didn't do. And it's fear of judgment. It's like, oh, is this person saying something about me? And so I'm beat myself up for the things that I didn't do that I didn't even know that I was supposed to do. And then it makes me feel less than. That's only when I'm feeling at my worst, though. Okay. When I'm feeling my worst, I could go down that bad path. But I do. So it's interesting because it's a good measure of how well I'm feeling. Because if I'm feeling better, then I still have some thoughts, but they don't go so quickly, right? They don't go quickly to the dark.
When you were talking, I'm trying to think about my feelings, and I don't necessarily have that piece that you're talking about, judgment. But I do have this idea of I am failing others' expectations of me.
Isn't that a judgment?
I think so. I don't know.
You don't feel judged ever?
I guess so. So what does judgment mean? Explain that to me.
It feels like you're being attacked. And when you feel attacked, it's hard not to then just take the attack And like, you just keep, you just go, you go with the attack. Okay. You perceived an attack and then you take on the attack and then you become the attacker in your own head.
Okay. Okay. If you explain it that way, then yes, I feel that way sometimes. The way I interpret judgment is that somebody would be like, you didn't do X, Y, Z, so you're a horrible person, you know?
Yeah, but nobody talks like that. But that's why I think part of the
internal,
the mental,
yeah,
brain F, the thing that your brain does to you is that it interprets non-reality, yeah, right? That's part of the weirdness of the thoughts when we beat ourselves up, is it's not that it comes from anywhere. It comes from your past. We should talk about where it comes from. Like, why do we do this? Why do we beat ourselves,
yeah,
up, you know?
So yes, then I do experience judgment. And I do experience this feeling of having to, one, protect myself from that. And I oftentimes go to anger first.
Mm.
And then I guess I get into this place where you're saying, like, when I think about like eating healthier and things like that, I'm just like, really, dude, you really needed chips right now? Like, why do you not have any willpower to not be able to eat those chips? And then that's,
oh yeah,
yeah,
why don't
it
you
spirals. Thanks, Teresa.
You're,
yeah,
weak.
That's what happens. It's like, damn it, why do I have to be this way?
Yeah.
And what's funny about it is that it just bombards you, right? It knows where to eat at you.
Yeah. I want to table that we're going to go back to the anger, because I think that is part of how to fix that you beat yourself up. But it comes from some kind of hurt. I feel like when you beat yourself up the most, it comes from some place that's, you mentioned that you are judgmental with statements that are tied to something you're really worried, mm-hmm, about, like your weight.
Yeah.
So maybe when it's something that hurts us because it's tied to something, then we're even more likely to just let our brains go to that place where we beat ourselves up about certain things.
Yeah, I would agree. It's like a little monster that is just, you open the door and it just comes right in and it's like, oh, I know how to attack that. I know how to attack that. I know how to attack that. And then it just comes at you, you know?
Yeah.
And that little monster is us, right? That's the worst thing.
It doesn't always start with us. Like, where do we start? Where do we get this idea that we needed to look a certain way? Because a lot of people beat themselves up because of the way they look.
Family, society, culture.
More family, right? Because we all know that society puts expectations on you, but we care about our families. So when your family says something about the way you look, do you just take that in and hold it on to it more?
Yes. I remember being younger and people talking about my body and it's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know? Now I realize if they wouldn't have talked about my body when I was 10 or 11, you know, that I was putting on weight or not losing weight, then it wouldn't have been anything so focused on, right? So,
yeah,
like,
which made it worse.
Right. Like, it's not like I never, there was a situation, not with me, but with another family member. She was gaining weight and my uncle put her on a diet and I was like, why are you putting on her diet? She's like, young. And I said to him, you know, if the more you focus on how she's eating and things like that, the more pressure you're putting on her, because that's what I felt, like pressure to adhere to a certain type of body type. Later, I came to find out, you know, I'm okay with what I look like. Not that I don't, yeah, want to lose some weight. I can always lose some weight, but there is this whole other spectrum, which I later found, you know, like in adulthood, where people were just like, this is my body. I don't even think about dieting. And I was just like, wow, that's totally foreign to me.
Yeah.
So it does come from that experience.
The things that people put on you.
Yeah.
Also, too, right? Like, when something bad happens, for example, it's hard not to start down the path of why me.
Yeah.
That we take on the responsibility of bad things that happened, and that changes the way you feel about yourself. So it's a lot of just not feeling like I deserve to not get beat on. Like, I don't deserve good things,
yeah,
or something like that. Right. So when bad things happen, it's really easy to just be in a bad space because you think you deserve it. So you just keep doing,
yeah,
bad things, and then you feel bad for doing bad things.
It's a learned behavior.
It reinforces that, you know, yeah, you don't deserve self-love, which it's funny because for people who have struggled for a long time with not taking care of yourself, or why do I not beat up myself? What's the opposite of why do I beat up myself? Why, how can I love myself? Like, that's, we talked a little, that's hard. Yeah. That almost is painful to love yourself if you have lived your whole life hating and being hard on yourself, so you become your own attacker.
That takes progress. Like, you have to be able to get to a point of kind of, you know, doing what we're doing now, like understanding where does it stem from, because it doesn't happen out of nowhere.
Yeah.
There are always things that lead us to think about certain things. You know, if we talk about weight because, like, we're just like food. But, like, Sachin was talking about this idea of, you know, just being alone, mm-hmm. and kind of relishing in this idea of being alone and kind of being able to feel the way you feel and not wanting to get out of that funk. And I asked, like, why? Why do you want to, like, dive into that feeling? And part of what he said was, you know, it's because it's kind of comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, key, because when we get to this place of comfort and knowing mm-hmm. that we feel a certain way,
yeah,
it takes work for us to move out of that comfortable space.
And so painful.
Oh, God. And yeah. So hard. It's hard. Yeah.
It is. The devil that you know is better than the devil you don't know, because accepting love opens you up to so much hurt too. Like, why was I not loved in the first place? Or, like, how do I explain that I wasn't loved to begin with, or something like that?
Oh,
I don't know. There's so much completely. There, actually.
I want to go back to that, because one of the things when you think about why you're so hard on yourself, when somebody else kind of puts a mirror to you and says, hey, you don't have to think this way. And it's like, what do you mean? This is the way that I have to think about this, because this is what I've done forever. Mm-hmm. I think there's a rationalization that has to happen for yourself, yeah. to be able to say, why is that person's experience of what I'm seeing very different?
Yeah.
And it does take maybe somebody that, you know, you care about to tell you, hey, it doesn't look like that from my end.
There's a healing there with the way trauma, like, crashes into mental health problems, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if your life story was that you were not worthy of love because somebody who's close to you, like your parent or your family member, hurt you, mm-hmm. then your story is that you're unworthy.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to work through. The fortunate thing, I don't know if this makes people feel better, but it seems that it unfortunately happens more often than not that somebody very close to us will fail us. But, I mean, no, you know, that's not true, because actually, like, experiencing serious trauma happens. It's not rare, like, you're not the only person that has happened to you, but that's not the way the world should be. But we do know that when it does happen, that you have to figure out how to get rid of those demons. Like, you have to get rid of that trauma and work through it and let it go. So whether that angry voice comes from you, or it's the voice of your mother or your father or your uncle or your experience, we can move to how to start getting rid of it, right? Which is not to take on those voices.
You know, I think about monsters. That's where my mind goes immediately when I think about, like, negative stuff. And again, that's something that's learned, right? It's just something dark and ugly. It's hard to be able to put a stop to negative thoughts without you realizing, maybe from learning from somebody else's experience, to say, stop your thought right there. Don't even go down that path, because those breadcrumbs are there and you can easily go down the path if you will, like, permit yourself to. So I try to stop my bad thoughts before they start.
I feel like those are the actions of behaviors. Like, when Kelly and I were talking about stopping stupid thoughts, yes, there's a physical part of stopping your stupid thought where you literally have to tell yourself to stop. But to not be hard on yourself, I feel like to get to a place where I beat myself up less, I had to do hard work in changing the way I saw myself. and I saw where those things came from that made it so easy for me to beat up myself. So yeah, there are the actions I had to take to break the habit, but the harder work, the deeper work was getting to a place where I really wasn't so hard on myself anymore. Like I learned that it was okay to be good. Even weird to say, like, I am good. Yes, I am good. That's crazy that we have to tell ourselves that, you know? Getting in a place where you're not hard on yourself means healing, not just actions.
Okay, so for me, healing comes from accepting the fact that I can make mistakes.
So you mentioned earlier getting angry. Mm-hmm. I had to get angry before I could become forgiving and then loving. I had to be angry so that I could say, you know what, those words that I experienced or those experiences that I experienced, they are not me. I am mad because that person should have known better than to do that. And it was the first way for me to separate those experiences from myself. Mm-hmm. It was easier to feel angry than it is to feel forgiveness or love, right?
Completely.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
So if somebody attacks you about your weight, it's easier to be like mad and be like, no, I'm not going to accept what you're saying. I'm not going to take that on. That's rude.
I guess I could do that. The way that I handle it is just I become a smartass about it.
That's being angry. We know you and I particularly like anger more than we like love.
It's an easier space for us to be in than love or forgiveness.
Yeah.
But there is this component of what I try to do of accepting that I am not perfect.
You got to get to forgiveness and acceptance and then love. Okay. So you accept your mistakes.
This year has taught me like, oh, you thought you could do this? No, no, no. Stop. Here's a mistake to teach you, you know, a lesson. It's like, damn. So that was me really learning to say, it's okay, dude. You messed up. The world didn't end. That was hard.
Also giving zero craps. Because caring and like being hard on yourself is because you care too much. After anger, you could also just be able to say, you know what? I just cannot care right now. It is not worth it.
Yeah. I get to that place from anger. I go to that place and I'm like, F it, yo. Forget it.
To the voice or to the thing?
Both, really.
Whatever you're supposed to do that you did not clean your car or whatever that person felt that happened, which that person didn't even mean.
But I would say there's also this idea that aligns with going back to like what people expect of you and then how you put that expectation on yourself.
Man, all of that stuff is in your head. That's the most dumb part of expectations because...
Are you calling me dumb, Teresa?
Yes. I don't know if this is how you feel, but I realize that when I'm not in a good place, like I said, it's very easy for me to beat myself up because I jump to a lot of conclusions about things that are not real.
I know, I get you. Yeah.
And so part of going from anger to giving zero craps to like realizing it is also really checking my brain and being like, you need to quit it because that's not even what was happening in that moment. This is your crazy brain.
What I think happens now is that somebody has to tell me that's not even what I said. Like, it's like my brain like kind of shuts down. And it's like, what? Whoa, wait a minute. And it takes me time to be able to process that.
I think we're lucky when we have people in our lives who are like, dude, you're so screwed up. Like, that is not even what I meant. Because most people at some point of our lives would just be like, F you. You just went from 0 to 100. You're too much right now. Which sucks. Because that's also sucky. But
that's hard on the other person.
I know. This is why we destroy relationships. Yes.
Yeah. But so that's why I was saying it. Maybe it's a mirror, right? That somebody's like, hey, stop. Yeah. Right? But my brain will do that. My brain will also try to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm.
compartmentalize.
I don't even know how to say the word. Yeah, that's what I said. To try to navigate around all these things so that I don't feel crappy.
Hmm.
So it's like, okay, with this, I can try to do this, but it maybe works, maybe doesn't. And then at the end, I don't care anymore. And then here, I'm going to put more effort into this because I know that this is worth more of my time and my effort.
How does that relate to something that you're hard on yourself about?
So for me, it goes back to expectations. And that's for all kinds of reasons, right? Family, culture, blah, blah, blah. So the way that it relates to how I'm hard on myself is when I cannot focus, function, complete something that I'm supposed to do, then my mind goes like, why can't you do it? What are you? You know, like, you should be able to do this. You're fully capable of doing this, but what is stopping you? Did you not get enough sleep? Are you hungry? Are you angry? You know, and I go through all these different emotions trying to figure out, like, to pinpoint one thing that says this X thing is leading me to feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much happening instantaneously that it's just, then I get bombarded. I'm just like, forget this, yo. And then I try to feel better.
That reminds me of how important it is for me to learn how to say no. As part of not being hard on myself was accepting that I could say no or not do stuff. And it didn't mean that I was bad or failing at my job. I just, it was okay. It's okay to say no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
I think that is a hard thing for people to understand. I don't know, all people.
Set boundaries is hard.
To set boundaries.
Even to say, no, I'm not going to be in relationship with you right now. Like, I am not going to spend time with you right now because what you're putting out is making me not well is such a hard thing to figure out. Because you're like, oh, am I being hard on them? Am I being hard on myself? Am I being judgmental? Part of saying no is having real clear understanding about where negative thoughts come from and being able to say, I will not take those negative thoughts on because they do not come from a place of love and acceptance and compassion.
So what can you do to get you to a place of being able to do whatever is needed to love yourself a little bit? Because it's baby steps to help you get to this place of completely being able to say, don't be so hard on yourself. Now what? What does that look like?
It's grief. It's grief, right? You have to grieve that you never had that to begin with. So you move from anger to bargaining to zero craps, denial, and then eventually acceptance and love, where you're like, the end is really a knowing of yourself, like where you know, I'm better now, right? So let's talk about what better is. I beat myself up less today because when something bad happens, I'm able to put it in its place. It's not because of me. It's not because of the world. It's not because of God hates me or I'm a bad person. I deserve it. It's just because that bad thing happened and it is just what it is. Or if somebody says something, that's not, they just meant exactly what they said. There was nothing more to it. Or if I didn't fulfill some requirement, like you said, accepting that I can make mistakes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean I should have, would have, could have anything. Everybody is allowed. Failing is a learning experience and it is human. And I embrace my flaws. That's the final. Like, I embrace my weird. I love that I'm a weirdo, which makes me feel more confident about being with my friends and being around people because I like myself, even for the things that make me funky. That's interesting because then when I use words like funky or weirdo, like, I don't feel bad about them because they don't carry on a negative connotation. But when I was hurt or scared, then words like weirdo, or when people would say you're weird, then I felt bad, you know? Whereas now I'd be like, you're weird. I'd be like, yeah, I am weird. And I
like
it.
Like, you went like completely full circle. Cause in another episode, we talked about this idea of not being able to like own your space, you know, and that's what it is, to be able to own your space and know that you have to give yourself permission to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were saying like, it's not about failing, and it really isn't, because you don't fail at just being yourself. There's nothing that tells you you're supposed to be a certain way other than what you think has been taught to you. So you have to define your own path and figure out what that means so that you do better, so that you are better, right? Mm-hmm. Defined by you. And for me, when I start thinking about how I can do better, it's by really setting aside time for me to kind of focus my energies on what I need so that I don't get into this place of negativity, mm-hmm. and that I allow myself, and it's really that permission to feel. So feeling is not a space that I like to be in. You know, it's not a normal thing for me to feel anything. I sometimes am heartless.
Being heartless is a coping skill, you know, going to that place where you don't feel strong feelings is a coping skill, but it is a ninja coping skill to feel feelings and accept feelings and learn how to work through your feelings.
That's the ninja skill we are learning as we speak.
I do think it's important to add a caveat that I'm feeling better today. I know that I'm coming out of a slump. A depressed episode, if you want to call it like a clinical thing, or just like where a period of time where I felt like my brain was literally trying to kill me. In that moment, when people are in that space, when they're in a episode of mental illness, you have less control over your negative thoughts. And that's not because you're not doing the hard work. I do think from a biological perspective, your brain literally is making it harder for you to do those things. And so when you're doing the hard work, when you're feeling better, it does protect you to the hard spaces when your brain is trying to attack you. But when your brain's trying to attack you, it's probably a sign that you need to do other things like medication, exercise, making sure you're sleeping well, like all the biological stuff, right? I think that's important because otherwise when people beat up on themselves, then people with mental health problems, like mental illness, then it's hard not to feel like you're also extra beating up on yourself because you can't get out of the hole. And that's not fair because actually mental illness makes it impossible for you to. It's a biological thing. You can't think yourself out of a broken leg.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Thanks all.
Thank you, guys.
Keep fighting in the open.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.